This morning we continue our study, The Heroes of Faith. Today is a sermon I have entitled, Rahab, the Harlot Who Received the Grace of God. Rahab, the Harlot Who Received the Grace of God. The Heroes of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11 has an unexpected entry. And that was the name just now we read from chapter 11, verse 31. The harlot, Rahab. The author of Hebrews records it there. By faith, the harlot, Rahab, did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. A harlot or a prostitute in the Heroes of Faith? What do you think? Yes, that's what the inspired scripture says. By faith, the harlot, Rahab, did not perish when the walls of Jericho tumbled down, as we meditated last Lord's Day. My dear friends, I want to let you know this morning, as we study the case of this harlot, this prostitute, this is the point. God's grace surpasses, transcends color, creed, caste, calling, category, or whatever, you name it. God's grace surpasses whatever boundaries that we make, whether it is our color, whether it is from whatever faith background we come, or whatever caste we belong. Particularly in our country, where so many castes, so many people divisions, or calling. What I mean by calling is your vocation or category. What I mean by category, men or women, women, no matter who you are, without gender, the grace of God surpasses. The grace of God reaches to people. Rahab was a Gentile, a Canaanite woman. She was not a Jew. A Canaanite woman lived in Jericho. An immoral person. Her vocation, her job, or her calling, the word that I used earlier, was a prostitute, entertaining men in a very immoral way. And that was her life. But as we read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, the author of Hebrews says, she received faith. God has been merciful to her. So much so that her name was added into the list of the heroes of faith. I like this phrase that I am going to say now. Somebody mentioned it. From the house of shame into the hall of fame, or hall of faith. That's what the transformation happened to Rahab. From the house of shame means a person who was given herself into a very immoral way of life, into the company of heroes of faith. That was Rahab's story. Now remember, we have many people in the list of the heroes of faith. We have been meditating their lives one by one. But when we closely examine their lives, they were not all perfect. They were men of imperfection. You name any one of them, everyone had their cup of woes, imperfection, struggles, we call it. But we thank God, in their imperfection or in their failures, they found the grace of God. Of course, when the Spirit of the Lord worked in their hearts, they were submissive, they surrendered their lives, they were obedient, so that the Lord could work, the Lord could transform them. Perhaps life particularly stands out as she has been a person for her entire life. She chose this as her profession to sustain her family, a prostitute. But thank God, her name was added, and we see the reason as we study through her story today. Now let me mention, our sins, our follies, our wrongs are always displeasing to the Lord. But when we acknowledge our sins, when we cry out unto God, when we come to the Lord, knowing that I can't help myself, but I know there is a God who is able to help me, who is able to help me in my failures, who is able to help me in my sinful addiction. When we come to Him, when we cry out, Lord, help me, that is where salvation, that is where redemption, and that is the life of Rahab. She did so, and that's why her name was added in the Heroes of Faith. Only when we acknowledge our sinfulness and come to Jesus Christ, we will receive forgiveness, and we can be just like Rahab. No matter how dirt we are, how sinful we are, the forgiveness of the Lord is there for us. I want to take you through very briefly the historical background, as that's where we begin. When we come to chapter 2, please come to Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Joshua, before crossing the river Jordan, sent two spies to secretly find out how the city Jericho, that's the city that they need to first invade. Joshua wanted to know how the city all about. Some strategy planning, strategical planning that Joshua had to undertake. Spies were sent, as we read verse 1, and Joshua son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, telling them, go and view the land. This is very, very much as a warrior. Joshua was a warrior, and he knew how to plan, and he is just applying his mind as a commander of the Israelites' forces. He sent the spies. And when he sent them to this fortified walled city, last week I told you how strongly fortified city the city of Jericho was. Rahab was staying on the walls. If you take a look into verse 15, please take a look into verse 15. And there we were told her house was on the city wall. Then she let them down by the cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall. She dwelt upon the wall. Historically possible, because the excavators found out that the city walls of Jericho was highly strong walls,
and two layers, outer layer and the inner layer. And in between, there was a space as well. So when the population was growing in the city, some people said, people, you know, somehow in order to accommodate themselves, some even constructed houses on the top of the wall. And that's where Rahab's house was built, on the top of the wall. That means very close to the border. And I also think that since her profession was, entertaining men, many people used to visit her, and you know, the location where she set herself up should be convenient for people to come. So perhaps she chose that area, and even people from outside could somehow come in. And that's what in fact happened. These two spies, how could they, when they went to spy the land, perhaps they climbed up the walls of Jericho, and when they climbed up, the first house they saw was Rahab's house. So they went to her home, and she received them. And then we were told, the king of Jericho, verse 2, and it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men here tonight of the children of Israel to search out our country." So the king came to know some people came from the Israelites. And the king was told they went to Rahab's house, and it was convenient for those men to go, and they accordingly they did. But the king came to know. So the king sent his soldiers to her home to catch hold of them. But Rahab refused to let the soldiers into her house, and she saved the lives of the spies. Now, here comes a very important question. Why did she do so? Number one, she would be risking herself, risking her life, because this is going to be treason for her. She risking her life and her love for the city, for her nation, for her country. How can she do that? But my dear friends, the answer as we study through this passage is this: the grace of God. She found the grace of the Lord. She was able to experience the grace of the Lord. The Lord knew this woman. The Lord wanted to save this woman. The grace of God was very much evident in her life. This morning I want to talk four ways by which we can evidence the grace of the Lord in her life. Her faith. Four ways we can experience, we can study, we can understand how grace of God was working in her life. Number one, her faith. She had faith in God. And in this portion, her faith has been described. The first thing I want to bring your notice, her faith in God. When the grace of God was at work, it was a working faith. Take a look into verse 4. And the woman took the two men, hid them, and said to the soldiers who came to her home, "There came men unto me, but I did not know from where they come. Of course, men came to my home. Do you know that I am I'm an entertainer of men? I did not know from where they came." And then verse 5. "As the men came to me, but I did not know from where they come, and it happened, as the gate was being shut, When it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them, she told the soldiers. But what did she actually do? She took them on the roof of her house and hid them there. You know the story. Now, this is where we see her faith was at work. Her faith was in action. She knew what was happening the other side of Jordan. That means she knew what was happening with the Israelites. She knew that Jehovah's hand was with the Israelites when the Lord brought them out of Egypt. And by now, almost 40 years of wilderness journey, all these things, these people were able to know, because she was actually entertaining men. Some perhaps people from other places used to come, and she was entertaining them and perhaps shared the stories of things that were happening. So she was well aware what was happening around. And in fact, she spells out those things later when we read through verses 9 to 11. Later we will come to that. She knew that something miraculous things were happening with the Israelites. There was a God who has been leading them. Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. He has been performing miracles. She knew that God, and she wanted to be part of what that Lord has been doing for the Israelites. In other words, one commentator put it like this: the Spirit of God was stirring the heart of Rahab. The Spirit of God was stirring the heart of Rahab each time when she heard God's dealing with the Israelites. When every time somebody came and told her how God led Israelites, the Spirit of God was working in her heart. He wanted to know the working of that God. He wanted to experience things with that God. And he wanted to be part of that people with whom this God has been working. In other words, she had a faith, and that faith was very much active, working faith. Now, interestingly, when we read the book of James, James mentioned Rahab's incident in his book, in his epistle, and I have mentioned here James chapter 2, verse 25, James 2, 25. Let me just read it for you. Likewise, also was not Rahab, the harlot, justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? James was saying Rahab's action of saving the lives of the spies, a proof of her faith in God. She did so because she already believed in Yahweh. Rahab's action was a proof that God was already in her, working in her, that she had a believing faith. Her action proved that the faith that she had was a true, a genuine faith. And James commends her faith. In other words, her work of hiding and saving the lives of the spies proved that she believed in Yahweh. Now, my dear friends, when we go through different circumstances in life, if we are truly, truly Christian, our faith has to really stand out. Let me say, for example, when we go through sickness, almost invariably Every one of us go through sickness in our life. But when we go through sickness, sometimes it may be some harsher sickness, serious sickness. What would we do? Our faith should be in action. Just at the beginning of this week, we received an update of Pastor Matthew from Singapore, who has been suffering from some kind of heavy growth inside his stomach. Remember, we have been praying for him. When I received the update, I immediately replied, sent a note to the brother. Since we have known him for many years, I studied together with him at the same seminary in Singapore Harrison Bible College. So I sent a note telling, "Brother, we have been praying for you." And immediately he replied, saying, "I trust in the sovereignty of the Lord. I do not know what is lying ahead of me tomorrow. They have done 2 biopsies, but still the doctors are not able to find out what exactly happening, and they're preparing for the 3rd biopsy. Is it really cancerous, the growth? Or what is it all about?" But this brother, thank God for his faith. "I trust in the sovereignty of the Lord." In other words, "I do not know what lie ahead of me tomorrow." He has 3 sons, very young, and his wife. Who would look after them if the Lord takes him away and to him, be with him? He said, "I trust in the sovereignty of the Lord." Our faith in action. This woman, she knew that if she won't act, these spies would be caught. If she won't hid them inside, they would be caught and they would be killed immediately. She became a savior because she knew there's a God. Their God is the true and living God. And she has to act as she trusted, she believed. Circumstances, various circumstances that come in our lives, remember to apply our faith. Not the philosophy of the world, but our faith, our trust in God. Now, I want to make one thing clear here. In fact, she lied. You know, verse 5, telling the soldiers that while keeping them inside, she told the soldiers, "Oh, they just went out like that. You pursue them." So she told a lie. Now, how do we reconcile her lying to the soldiers? Lying is always sin, wrong. And as we study the situation here, her lying was never what we call justified. Her lying was wrong. She obviously lied because she wanted to protect the spies, but that was wrong. Yes, she, like all of us, not perfect, an imperfect woman, and particularly her background, but those things were never a justification for her lie. Remember, she was commended not for her lying, and that way saving the life of the spies. She was commended for her faith in Yahweh. Take note of this. Because of her faith in Jehovah, she was commended by the author of Hebrews or even the book of James. There's no situational ethics here. What is situational ethics? Some people say, "Oh, never mind. According to the situation, we can tell a lie, no problem. As long as the end justifies the means, no problem." No, not at all. The very act of perhaps lie was sin.
was wrong, and the Bible never commended it. In fact, the Bible always encourages God's people, commands God's people to be true. Your words should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22, and Leviticus chapter 19, verse 11, you can read through those portions where the Bible teaches against lying. Now, from the working faith, we want to just move on. Secondly, her faith, wherein her experience of grace was very much explicitly seen. Her faith was not only working, her faith was a believing faith. She truly believed in Yahweh. And the verses that follow from verse 8 all the way to 11 very clearly explains her strong faith in God. Let me just read verse 9 following. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that your terror, the terror of you is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. That's what I told you. What were happening, you know, the things that were happening among the Israelites were well known, even for the people of Jericho. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, even you came out of Egypt, and even the way you defeated the king of the Amorites. All these things we were known. In verse 11, listen to this. And as soon as we have heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Interesting. These words expresses vivid and clear the amount of her faith. Not only he knew the power of this God, as she heard, she acknowledges the power of this God. And thirdly, she wants to be part of. In other words, experiencing the power of this God in her life. And that's what we see, the distinctiveness of Rahab compared to all the other people in the city of Jericho. When she heard the stories of God's mighty doings in the camp of the Israelites, she realized, oh, this is truly, truly the supernatural hand of God. Their God is something special. Their God is living. Their God is true. For her, it was pricking her heart that the Spirit of the Lord was at work, that she wanted to truly, truly experience the power of this God in her life. My dear friends, this is true faith. This is true faith. When we hear the handiwork of God, when we read through the Old Testament narrations of God's leading of His people, when we come to the New Testament, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, His work for His people, His work on the cross, the victory that He won for us on the cross, and then the way that He dealt with the apostles, and the apostles sitting above the church, establishing the ministry of the church, traveling wide and far and wide, enduring persecution, struggles and challenges, and then the church history, all through the great men and women, as we read and hear, and even in our own times and in our own life, when the Lord does His mighty acts, consider how great thou art. Remember to consider the greatness of God. Remember to realize and acknowledge the power of this God. And pray unto the Lord. The This is the Spirit of God working my life, oh God. I want to experience the power of God in my life. There are many struggles in my life, Lord. I know you can help me. I come to you. That is believing faith. Rahab, as she heard the workings of God, it was not just mere stories to entertain her. Rather, it was life-changing stories for her as she believed, as she so much honestly desired the working of the Spirit in her life. And that's what should happen in our lives. Each time when we read God's Word, do you delight in reading of God's Word? Do we delight in reading of God's Word? Let me ask this question, very simple question, but I want to tell you, very profound. Every morning when we do the meditation, how do you do that? Just take a portion, just 10 verses, just read through and, oh, I have done my morning devotion, close your Bible, get on to the affairs of life. Is it that simple for you? Or you have been truly blessed? The word of the Lord has spoken in your heart. The story that you read, the incident that you read, the example that you read, truly, truly you can identify with that. That's where the Spirit of the Lord is stirring our heart when the true faith is there. Perhaps life was such a life. Now, thirdly, her faith was a trusting faith. Her faith was trusting faith. What do I mean by trusting faith? She requested those men, verse 12. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true assurance, a token, an assurance that you will save me and my father's house. When you come, when you invade the walls of Jericho, dear men, please show kindness toward my family. In other words, her faith enabled her not to trust the mighty walls of Jericho, but her faith enabled her to trust in Jehovah for her safety, for her protection. Not the mighty walls of Jericho. The walls of Jericho were so mighty that she could even construct her house on the top of it. That's strong. But her safety never depended on the walls of Jericho. She knew the God of Israelites is mightier than the walls of Jericho. She knew that the God of Israelites would lead his people and would be conquering the mighty walls of Jericho. She knew, and that time she wanted her protection. She wanted her safety. Nothing external, but in Yahweh. So she pleaded, I know victory will be yours. I know victory will be yours. Because your God is a living and true God. So I don't want to trust in the walls of Jericho. But when you come victorious, would you save me? Would you save my family? I want to be part of this God. I want to experience the victory of this God. Not only for me, my family. Trusting faith. Trusting faith follows the Lord's path, the Lord's will. Trusting faith forsakes the fortified strongholds of this world, this earth. Trusting faith, look beyond the so-called fortified things around us. Please understand, that's what trusting faith. Rahab knew the temporary nature, the feebleness of the things around. But it is God who could help her, who could save her family. Rahab knew that. My dear friends, what is the thing that we work so much hard every day in this life for our earthly sustenance? To have a house, to have a car, to have the best education for our children. So many things. We work so hard. Last week I reminded you, when we do so, remember, those things would not be our strongholds. Yes, we need a reasonable house for us to live. We need a reasonable job. We need a reasonable bank balance. Nothing wrong in that. But remember, those things are not our strongholds. Not our strongholds. Those things are temporary. But our strongholds are our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our faith in Him, our dependency, our service for Him. Those are our strongholds. Those are our strongholds. So encouraging to see she was not only concerned for her own salvation, she was so concerned for her family as well. Think about that. When we are so much concerned for our own salvation, yes, that is first and foremost, our children, our loved ones. Many of our loved ones are outside the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know. Pray for their salvation. Pray for their salvation, don't give up. Pray for the salvation of our children. Pray for the salvation of our spouses. Make sure we provide the opportunities that are conducive for our children to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I was listening to a message the other day, and the preacher was saying, if we give so much bank balance, and if we work hard and give so much treasures of this world unto our children, it would be difficult for our children to follow the Lord. If we truly love our children, don't work so much hard for them to have so much savings in the world. Give them good education. Give them, a good life as long as you are around. Provide them good food and all those things. But let them find out the rest. Let them find out the rest. That way they would understand how difficult the life in this world. And they would be responsible. And in that endeavor to be responsible, they will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They would follow the Lord Jesus Christ. My point here is, be concerned for the spiritual welfare of our children, of our loved ones. Pray for them. Rahab, we see an example here, her trusting faith. And finally, let me conclude with my last point, her faith was duly rewarded. A rewarding faith. Was she saved from the destruction, from the ruin of the city of Jericho? Verse 18. But when the soldier, the spies told her, but when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which you let us down by. In other words, she used a scarlet line thread to lower them through the walls of Jericho, to let them down for them to escape. And
The spies told her, "Sister, this is your salvation. When we come to take hold of this city, we will come. We will look for you. But we want to see. We want to see this scarlet thread. You remember to lower it." Did it happen? You turn with me now to chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 22 onwards. Israelites came. Last week we meditated. They encircled the walls of Jericho, and the walls of Jericho tumbled down. But, my dear friends, so miraculous. The point where, the place where Rahab stayed, that portion of the wall did not fall. Because Rahab and her family were there. Verse 22, "But Joshua had said unto two men that he had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, bring her out, and all that she has, as you have vowed unto her." And the young men did exactly as Joshua told them. They went, verse 22, and they brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. Verse 25, "And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelt in Israel even unto this day because she hid the messengers." Oh, what a testimony. God rewarded her faith. God rewarded her trust. Now this is physical salvation. Physical salvation. Spiritually, she has already been saved. Right? And that's why she could deal with the spies that way. Her working faith. Her believing faith. Her trusting faith. On the account of that, the physical salvation came upon her. And then one more thing I want to add along with this. Not only the Lord physically saved her and her family, even Rahab has been greatly blessed. And she found a place in the eternal plan of God. Rahab found a place in the eternal plan of God, my dear friends. Her name was added. Her name appeared in the genealogy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A Canaanite, Gentile, harlot, prostitute, Rahab was. I repeat, a Canaanite, Gentile, harlot, Rahab was. Why her name to be included in the genealogy of our Savior Jesus Christ? Why her name to be included in the heroes of faith? That's where the mercies of the Lord. The Lord rewarded her. Matthew chapter 1 verses 4-5. Luke chapter 3 verse 32. Ruth chapter 4 verses 20-22. These all are the evidence that Rahab's name appeared in the genealogy. This is how it happened. Rahab's son, Boaz, married Ruth. That's Ruth comes after, during the period of the judges, after the Israelites captured the land of promise, and then the period of the judges. Ruth lived during that period. Rahab's son, Boaz, married Ruth and became the father of Obed. And Boaz became the grandfather of Obed became the grandfather of Jesse and the great grandfather of David. And that's how the genealogy goes. Boaz, Rahab's son, married Ruth, and he became the father of Obed, the grandfather of Jesse, and the great grandfather of David. Praise God. And that's where the genealogy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Rahab, And that's why in Matthew chapter 1 verse 5 particularly, Rahab's name appears there. This is the point. True faith will always be rewarded. True faith will always be rewarded. Let me just conclude this morning the meditation of God's word. Can a sinner be translated from the house of shame into the hall of fame? Can a sinner be translated? A sinner like a harlot Rahab, be translated from such a filthy, immoral life and to become one among the heroes of faith in the inspired scriptures of the Lord and to come into the great messianic line of our Savior Jesus Christ? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. How? Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. Colossians 1, 12 to 14. Listen to this. Giving thanks unto the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Jesus Christ, through his life, death, and resurrection, saved us from the power of darkness, saved us from the filthiness. No matter whether you are a liar, an adulterer, a homosexual, or whatever your background, come the moment you acknowledge the Savior Jesus Christ. He is indeed the creator of heavens and earth. Your life from the power of darkness. Your life has been delivered from the power of darkness and translated. Your life has been translated into the kingdom of his. Kingdom of his. You are a precious child. Rahab the harlot. Rahab the prostitute. Rahab the Gentile Canaanite woman became the beloved daughter of our Savior Jesus Christ, because he trusted, because she believed, because she knew this God is greater than all the other gods. Isaiah 1 verses 18 to 20. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as a scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like a crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and be obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Take note. You shall eat the good of the land if you be obedient and willing to follow. Would you, my dear friend, would you? No sin is greater than God's mercy. No sin is greater than God's mercy. How vile a sin you are. How much addiction that you are in. You come. Now is the time. Come now. The Lord calls Israelites. Cry out unto the Lord. Cry out unto the Lord. And the Lord is able to save us. His grace is sufficient for us. That's what Ephesians 8, chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. By his grace, by grace through faith, we are saved. Not by any works that we do, but just pure, simple faith, trust in Yahweh. That was what Rahab's life. Jesus Christ is a scarlet thread. God made available to save us. If the spies told Rahab, you use this scarlet thread that you used to save us. Use this. And Rahab just obeyed, and that became salvation for her. Because she already knew Jehovah, the true and living God. My dear friend, my dear brother,
My dear sister, let the life of Rahab be a great encouragement. No matter whatever struggles you are going through, no matter whatever circumstances you are in, don't give up. Trust in Jesus Christ. His power. Come. His conditions. Believe. His will. His way. Follow. That is the salvation for us. That is the salvation for us. Our Heavenly Father,